Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world? Welcome on in to the Sports Buffoon Studios. Starting off with some buffoonery, like always, of course, here. So that's not a surprise. Tanner fumbling through your boat like a Mr. Daniels would for a KU fan. That makes sense.
I've turned it off like four times, dude.
Oh, boy, guys. All right, guys. Welcome on in. As I said, I hope that the intro wasn't too crazy for you guys to begin with there. Tanner, how you feeling, man?
I'm good. Good. You know, we got the lawn break.
You done playing around back there? You done playing around back there? We got a show to run here. We got a show to do right here for the
people.
What
is going on?
I don't know, but you fix your damn TV over here. Get it figured out.
Okay, we're good.
Oh, my God.
It's off.
You know what's funny about this? Every single week, it seems like JG comes in here and he gives you a bunch of crap for screwing up something on the show, and then we walk into this for
the best
to
part
get
is,
Thanksgiving week.
The best part is the audience never heard it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Because we don't have our old mics. If we had our
old mics, that's true.
They would hear everything. Dude.
That's true, guys. If you've been following us for like the last 3 years, you know what we're talking about. We had some old mics that were not meant for podcasting whatsoever. They were meant for just apparently open a mic to any sound in the entire room, apparently. That is no longer the case these days. By the way, JG is out of town right now. He's making his way down to the Oklahoma-Texas border, hang out down there for a minute with his family, do some Thanksgiving down there. He's going to hang out with his brother, Troy, who we've had on the show before. And then, maybe come back with some money. We'll see.
Hopefully so.
Yeah, that's right. But we do have good news. Later on in the show, we'll have his Easy Money Bet of the Week. So he did text us in his pick as well as some of his reasons why. So we do have that coming up. But we have some other things to talk about, too. We have a little bit of Tom Brady's comments that we saw yesterday that I find to be very interesting. And we have our National Day of the Day.
Yeah.
We have that coming up as well. We'll talk about that. But first and foremost, you guys, Thanksgiving. Here we are Wednesday night, so we are excited to get some fun things going on for your festivities over the next few days, of course. Thanksgiving, guys, is it, Tanner, where do you rank Thanksgiving on your top holiday list? Like, I'm going to guess it's under Christmas, but it's above Easter.
Yeah, definitely above Easter.
So, like, Thanksgiving, where does it fall on 4th of July versus Halloween?
You know, as I've become more of an adult, and now I'm in this better role that allows me to take time off on a Friday, it's kind of bumped up a couple of spots. So, obviously, 4th of July is the best holiday out there.
So, you're a big 4th of July guy. I know a few people like you.
Let me blow stuff up. That's 4th of July. I'm right there.
I still have stuff to blow up right now.
I do, too, in the garage. But we won't get there, right? Just yet. New Year's is pretty cool, I think, because usually there's a lot of stuff. I'd say it's probably just under Christmas. Probably fourth best. It's gone up from
fourth. Huh?
It's gone up from fifth to probably fourth.
So your ranking would be, what's your number one?
Oh, 4th of July.
4th of July.
Probably New Year's.
Then New Year's, Christmas. Then Thanksgiving would be your fourth.
Yeah.
And after that, it's whatever else at that point, probably.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Just scattered.
Interesting. Yeah, so I was listening to the radio quite a bit today. I had a lot of free time at work. You know, the day before Thanksgiving, when you're working at most places, it's probably a little more laid back. We got out early, and, you know, I had more free time a little bit to listen to the radio, and they're all talking about how it's the best because there's no obligations. I mean, there's no requirements. There's no, you don't got to really buy gifts. I mean, it's all about just like, you know, maybe buy some food, maybe buy some you know, some turkey or green bean casserole or mashed potatoes or something. Maybe you want to make something and bring it somewhere. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe you buy a bottle of whiskey. But, I mean, for the most part, you're not expected to really do anything except for maybe watch some football, eat some food, hang out with your family. And, like, that's the day. I mean, that's pretty much what you do all day for Thanksgiving. So when they put it that way, I'm like, you know what? I kind of see what they're talking about.
Thanksgiving's though. Legit. Don't get me wrong. I love Thanksgiving because it's you just described it right there. You drink, yeah. You eat, you watch football.
But see, whenever I was like 12 years old, I didn't appreciate it as much. When I was like 12 years old, I was younger, you know, because like I loved having football on, but I didn't appreciate it as much because like to me, it was like, okay, I'm with all these people in my family. Half of them I barely even know, or, you know, they are just a bunch of old people, in my opinion, at that time. and we're hanging out, eating some food, and then the older people are drinking drinks. I can't drink drinks yet. I'm just a little kid trying to enjoy some random-ass football games on TV and hanging out at the cool kids' table, you know? And that's pretty much it. But the food was good, of course. But I don't know. For me, it felt like a very long day where it's like, man, we're just dragging out. Whereas, like, I probably wanted to get more to the real shit, you know. Give me the Christmas, you know. I was a big Halloween fan as a kid, and I still am, but
yeah,
I was more about caring about going to, you know, getting towards Christmas time. It was kind of the kickoff to Christmas. You had Black Friday, you know, the grandparents are going out, and they're all buying a bunch of random things for all their kids. And so, I don't know, that was always the thing for me growing up. But now that I've gotten older, I kind of look at it a little bit differently. I'm like, you know what? I can appreciate Thanksgiving holiday right. A little more.
I mean, where I'm at now and everything, like being able to have this, what, five-day weekend?
Five-day? It's 4-day, right?
I don't know what day. What is it? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
Today was a 3/4 day because I got off early, but.
I got off early too. That's why I'm thinking 5-day to me.
Still, it's 4 days, but then I'll be going to Vegas after that, so.
That's true.
After this whole weekend.
Vegas trip.
I got Vegas coming up in a week, so I'll be going out there.
You got Vegas trip. I got the Lambo trip coming up.
Yeah, you tell me all about that. I need a Lambo.
So, you got a lot
actually, it's funny, Tanner. If you're going to Lambo, I'll be watching that game in Vegas. If you're going to Lambo.
What do you know?
I'll be in Vegas while you're in Lambo, but I'll be way warmer than you are. So, man.
You will be way warmer.
I'll be enjoying that part at least. But
that's all right. I'm excited for it.
At least I hope so. But we'll see. All right, guys. Will, let's go ahead and kick it off. We're walking into this a little disappointed about what happened over this Monday night football game here against the Eagles. I knew it was going to be a game. It was going to be tough. I picked the Eagles to win even, and I happen to be right about that. But I'm not happy that I'm right because of the way it went down. I wanted the Eagles to beat us in a way where they just prove their dominance. I wanted the Eagles, if they were going to go out there and beat us, I didn't want to see the Chiefs beat the Chiefs. What happened in this game was the Chiefs went out there and just beat themselves because they fooled around and pulled an old Raiders. And we used to always say that the phrase, you know, Raiders going to Raider. You know, it's the Raiders doing Raiders things where they always find a way to lose. Somehow the Chiefs are now the team who finds ways to lose. When we used to be known as a team that would find ways to win at all times. We had Patrick Mahomes. He'd always come back. You know, that's been our MO ever since Mahomes has been a part of this organization is like, we're going to find a way to win. We're going to find a way to get back in this game. And it's like almost always happened this year. And I'm not blaming this on Mahomes.
No.
But this year obviously is very, very different. The defense is now top three in the league statistically, playing amazing. They played amazing against the Eagles. The offense is awful. They have not scored a touchdown in the second half of the last three games in a row. In fact, they only have one offensive touchdown in the fourth quarter all year long up to this point. So it's getting embarrassing. It's getting embarrassing to watch unfold the way that this team literally ranks dead last in the second half of scoring in football games, but yet they're top five in the first half. What's going on with this team? It's frustrating. I mean, we know the obvious things here. The wide receivers suck ass.
Yes, we know that.
And I'm pissed about that because my ass went to training camp. Your ass went to training camp. We got to see some wide receivers that we thought looked pretty sharp.
They did.
I mean, us as a bunch of buffoons sitting around right before a thunderstorm, we're sitting around up there going, okay, guys, like, we have some talent here. We can see how this is going to work. We can see
they look
guys making plays. Everything looked pretty sharp. It felt like the offense was actually ahead of the defense in a lot of ways. And then when you get to real games, it's like, okay, never mind. That's we were a little bit fooled. But it's not the same guy every single week. Like, this week, the scapegoat is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And he's not been good all year. I mean, he's been shitty,
yeah.
Especially when he's the highest paid receiver on the team by far. But this week it was him dropping a pass that potentially was a game winner. The week before it was Sky Moore dropping an end zone pass right in his breadbasket against Denver. And then week one, of course, Kadarius Toney. Those are the three losses the Chiefs have right now. But Tanner, just give me a thought right now on where we should take this, where we should go from here, what we need to do, and your thoughts on just how to regroup from this game in general.
Well, I think we kind of forced our hand in a way with Mikkel getting injured, and it was the right way that we should be doing things, is involving Kadarius Toney a lot more into this offense. If he snaps his hamstring, he snaps his hamstring. We can't be scared about it. The guy is stupid talented. We saw it on all the punt returns. Why do we have Sky Moore and Mikkel back there when we have Kadarius Toney that can take this thing an extra 20 yards more than these guys are able to? There's that. Execution. It's plain and simple. Execution, right? You can all you want. You can do all you want on defensive side, but if you can't move the ball, it doesn't matter. And if you can't score in their end zone, you can't score. It can't matter. Execution of red zone drives. The interception in the first half in the red zone was a killer. That was a legit killer. We can't have that. That was such just a wrong throw that should have never happened in the first place. Travis Kelce, another star on our team, fumbling. Can't have that. We can't have these situations, drive killers essentially, red zone killers, on this team. The execution isn't just bad, I think, from certain player standpoint, right? Sky Moore, MVS, Kadarius Toney at times. But it's also a whole standpoint of the whole offense. Mahomes, you know, has had some bad picks. You know, not all of them are him. I know he's had to force a couple, but they've had some bad picks in these drives. Travis Kelce, honestly, hasn't looked quite himself. So, right. It's been some pretty disappointing. In the end, it's just execution for this offense. It's not necessarily one guy or another, one position. It's how are you executing these drives, and are you going to let that bad drive, you know, that MVS drop, are you going to let that be your killer of the whole game, or are you going to score that red zone touchdown? Now we're talking about MVS dropping a ball and yet still having a chance to finish out this game.
Well, that's the thing is that I don't think Matt Mahomes gave up at all after that MVS drop. The very next drive we saw was 4th and 25, and he threw one right into the hands of Justin Watson.
Yep.
And it should have been caught as well. That would have continued the drive. That would have potentially gave the Chiefs the chance to get back in this. And it's just like consistently, the receivers on this team are just not making plays. They lead the entire NFL in drops right now, sitting at 27 drops.
We had five. By far the most. We had six
in this game.
But
they also had 4 in week one, but 27 overall. I mean, that's just awful.
Awful.
And then you have guys that's not getting open, which is going to create mistakes from Mahomes, which is going to create fumbles, which is going to create just, you know, scrambling for your life to try to buy time to see if a guy can get open, which we're not seeing that happen anymore.
No, they're standing in they're not moving in a zone defense.
What's happened previously before this year, Tanner, was we'd see Mahomes buy time by scrambling out, rolling out, and realizing that he had receivers that had the wherewithal to know how to get open and find a spot. And we're not seeing that happen this year the same way that it had as in previously.
How much does it make you want to bring DeMarcus Robinson back?
No.
Just get open.
How often do you see Patrick Mahomes throw a ball away? He's normally trying to keep the play alive at all times.
Correct.
We're seeing more of him now literally buying every split second he can and then having to throw the ball away. Or we saw him run. How many different times was he scrambling this game against the Eagles?
So his over-under, because we bet on that, actually.
Well, he was by far the over on
that. It was a 4.5 was his over-under rushing attempts.
4.5? Oh, he had
six. He hit that six in the first quarter.
Yeah. That's the thing. That was his way because no one's getting open. Everyone's tied up. So he's running. And that's what happened in this game. And like I said, and like you said, Travis Kelce's not himself right now. We saw him just a few weeks ago play the Chargers at Arrowhead.
Yep.
It was about a month ago.
Yep.
And he played great. We were joking around about how he could be setting the tight end record for receiving yards in a game that day. And it's like almost like all of a sudden it's just like not the same guy right now.
We didn't get a target until midway second quarter, late second quarter.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that I honestly think it's just the defenses, you know, being able to, they know where to go, right?
Well, yeah,
we saw it in the red zone catch for Justin Watson in that one where the defense just hovered over Travis Kelce.
Right, because if you're a D coordinator right now, Tanner, you walk in to face the Chiefs, you know, eliminate one guy. Eliminate Travis Kelce, force them to beat you with their receivers.
Eliminate the tight end. Whoever's tight end, Noah Gray or Travis Kelce, I'm taking those guys out of the opportunity.
No one's going to scare you otherwise on this team, other than maybe handing it off to Pacheco.
Correct.
Who had a great first half, only got 7 attempts in the second half.
Play calling again.
But it's like we're up by 10 points going into the half. You get the ball. After that point, it's like we kind of abandoned the run at a certain point there. And it just turned into a passing fest, which it really didn't need to be, especially with a team that has trust issues with the receivers. So just something to think about.
Dave out here says, how the fuck does Watson make unbelievable toe drags on the sideline and drop balls perfectly thrown in his hand? I don't know.
We don't have couldn't an answer for that.
Couldn't tell you.
That is why he is not a true starting receiver in the NFL. That's why he was with the Buccaneers, their WR5, because that's what he is. That's what he is. He's a WR5. Also, if you guys have noticed about Justin Watson over the last 2 years, he has zero yak. He is not a yak receiver whatsoever.
No, he's not.
He is a guy that you put the ball on him, he might catch it, but whenever he does catch it, he's going down immediately.
Yes.
There is no yards after catch. It's like you better get open, and you can get open. We've seen you get open. But once you catch the ball, you're going on the ground.
Well, his knees are always on the ground, it seems like.
That is Justin Watson's MO. And like, if you're telling me that our guy that's got 12 targets in this last game, who's our being treated as our WR1 Tanner, as Watson is, has zero yak ability, just this average speed white dude who can sometimes catch a ball and has no yak, that's your WR1. Because Rashee Rice isn't.
That's a scary.
Rashee Rice isn't getting the targets to be a WR1.
No.
Justin Watson got 12 targets. If you give Rashee Rice 12 targets, I'd love to see the numbers he could put up.
It'd be insane.
I'd love to see the numbers.
It'd be insane.
I'd love to. But we're not going to see that. Apparently, we have a problem with.
Speaking of another bet I want, Rashee Rice, 46 and a half yards. The guy, so I looked it up for the show, and that was the prop bet. I was circling, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to look at this prop bet here. What was it, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, he had 80 yards, and then it went down. 80, 76, 64, 53, and now the last 2 weeks have been, 20-something, and now 14. That's legit, his yardage. That's where it's gone since the big 80 mark.
I mean, there's no reason for that. It doesn't make any sense.
No. Why would you? Again, I love seeing more Tony into things in the offense, but now we got to make sure we get the other guy that should be in the offense, which is Rashee Rice, into play. And I think when you get those two involved, kind of fade your Mecole and Sky, or not Mecole, I don't care about Mecole either, but MVS and Sky Moore maybe out a little bit into play, or however you got to do it. Like, those two guys should be your weapons right now, plain and simple.
Well, I want to talk some positive things, but first I want to ask before we get to that, is there any fix to this year, Tanner? Do you see a way to fix this year, or do we just have to deal with it? We're stuck with it. We're going to pray that we can roll into the Super Bowl with the number 2 defense or number 1 defense in the NFL, and they're going to carry us to the promised land. And whenever we get to a situation where we need to come back, drive to win the game, we're going to make it happen. Somehow, with this crew we currently have, that's going to happen somehow, right?
A fix is there. We've already talked about it many times.
What's the Richie James is coming back?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the?
No, I'm not saying he's a fix.
Don't tell me he's the answer.
I'm not saying he's the fix. I'm saying
he's better than Sky Moore.
I'm saying there's a fix, and that's phasing out a couple guys that you drafted high and you're paying high, and that's what it is. It's legit phasing out those guys, making their snaps least on the team. Making their snaps less than Justin Watson.
Now, we have seen a decline. More snaps have gone down.
Yes, correct.
For obvious reasons. MVS is kind of where it's always been, it seems like, this whole year. It's up and down a little bit, but for the most part, it's kind of in the middle there, which is crazy because if you're getting paid by far the most on the entire team, you should be getting the most snaps, but I'm glad he's not. But
Well,
I don't know that there's a fix, though.
Your other fix is Andy Reid breaking his, what do I want to say, his moral character, the thing that he's always been around, and run the damn ball. I know he had 20 attempts total, but
I mean, he might be. Here's the thing: Reid worries so much about the back half of the season.
Yes,
he game plans his whole front half differently than his back half, because he's terrified of like wearing out Isaiah Pacheco or having an injury. Because here's the thing, if Pacheco gets injured,
we're stuck with McKinnon.
It's going to be a problem.
Clyde and...
And Andy Reid's aware of that. Same time, you need to have him...
But you got to run.
You got to...
It's almost McKinnon.
You can't worry about it too much.
So we're getting closer to McKinnon season.
Play the game.
We're about 2 weeks away from McKinnon getting his full reps in. Maybe that helps. I don't know. Maybe that helps bringing McKinnon into a little bit more of a volume like he did last year, but in the year before. I just think he's got to get out of his own head. I don't think it's necessarily Nagy. I'm not blaming this on Nagy. Mm-hmm. This is full read because we've seen this every year.
What do you think, just out of curiosity, before we move on to some positives, what would this offense currently look like if Alex Smith was still the quarterback of this team? What would be different? Who would be your number one target other than Kelsey? Would any of those guys – I mean, how bad would it be?
It would be Sky Moore.
You're not throwing deep to Marquez because that's just not a thing.
You're throwing similar people. You're throwing Justin Watson, Sky Moore.
Probably Kadarius Toney, maybe more, or Sky Moore, maybe more.
Kadarius Toney in.
But it's going to be a whole bunch of underneath stuff. And first of all, they're not running slants to get open.
No.
You're not going to beat them on a slant.
I mean, you're talking about a team with Alex Smith.
Rashee Rice?
You're looking at a winning record. Well, like, at least you'll still
I would have hoped that Rashee Rice would be the number one target other than Kelsey if we had Alex Smith.
And instead it's Noah Gray.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that. Noah Gray has been a good tight end, too.
Yeah.
He's a good second tight end, good backup, good guy that gets, 30-40% of the snaps. We appreciate that. He's good at it. He's good at what he does as a tight end, too. I don't know that that's going to be your case for winning games, is having your tight end to be your next best target outside of Rashee Rice, because that's just like that's not going to work.
It's just not good. It doesn't feel good. I know the stats say a little different, but this offense doesn't feel good, doesn't look good.
Well, I got one more crappy thing to talk about, I guess. So you guys probably saw the stat already. Someone pulled it up or added it up, but I went ahead and redid the math on it. But out of Mahomes' incompletions this year, 21.7% of his incompletions are drops. So 21.7, almost 22% of his incompletions are drops. Yes, that is correct. So just if we could eliminate half of those, that would go a long ways towards winning more games. So something to think about.
Dave says, remember the good old days when a wheel DT, I can't read that. I'm blind. When a wheel, it was a wheel DT and now and then would be productive 3 years ago.
I think he's talking about maybe wheel routes or something.
The wheel
routes,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those still exist. Yeah. You could still run those. You could still draw those up.
Still there.
Here's the thing. Pacheco, if I remember right, last year going into training camp, he was used quite a bit as the training camp weapon in the passing game.
Yes.
I saw him do that. I saw him do it in preseason even. And like it's almost like we just reverted him back to this like screen game only receiver, receiving back. When like I know he's capable of more than that downfield. I do that shit on Madden all the time. So I know it's possible. I do it on Madden. So there's a lot to figure out. It's nothing we can do about it or say about it at this point. It's a matter of just playing better. Travis Kelce talked about some of his issues even this week on New Heights with his podcast. I hope it gets figured out, because at this point I would be very ashamed if we're going to give Patrick Mahomes a top three defense in the league and then not win a Super Bowl.
It'd be a shame.
The thing we've always said, Tanner, was, because here's the thing, Patrick Mahomes' whole career of life playing football has had crap defenses for the most part.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like his Texas Tech days, his NFL days, 2018 was awful. And, of course, defenses picked it up as the second half of the year went on once we got Steve Spagnuolo involved. Steve Spagnuolo's been amazing for this team. I love Steve Spagnuolo. He's been the best D coordinator I've seen the Chiefs have. We could talk about Gunther Cunningham, I guess, but honestly, Spags has done more with less in a lot of ways over the course of his tenure as a Chief. But to me, it'd be a shame to see a year be wasted of Mahomes' career to have a top three defense and then not win a championship. So this has to get figured out.
Well, there's a lot of questions on Monday night because I did the post-game show with Bill and some guys, and it was why didn't the Chiefs make a move on the trade deadline? They did. Mecole Hardman.
Right.
That's your trade.
Give up a sixth rounder for Mr. Mecole.
Why? Because Reed wants his vets that are comfortable with the offense.
Now he's got a thumb sprain, so he's probably going to miss the Raiders game. But so a little positive though, just to switch it over a little bit. The defense guys is awesome right now. I don't care about 21 points on the board against the Eagles this past game. There was two tush pushes. that's how they got those two touchdowns there towards the back end. But for me, we're watching some amazing stuff from Spags right now. Jalen Hurts was confused. He didn't know what the hell to do with himself. Jason Kelce even mentioned that on the podcast as well. How he was admiring the way Spagnuolo calls his defense, where it's such a unique design. Every single play, there's so much thought to put into it of creating confusion. You know, Andy Reid has always built an offense around misdirection.
Correct.
Where Spagnuolo is the same kind of thing, but it's defensively, where he's consistently trying to have alignments mix and match to create a confusion for the offense. And this year it's been better than ever because also the talent is something amazing that's we've had now be a full unit now for 2 or 3 years in a row. Nick Bolton's even been missing, and we're not skipping a beat.
No,
and we know how good Nick Bolton. We know how good Nick Bolton is.
Drew Tranquil leading our tackles this year so far. Yeah, so
Tranquil, I knew whenever we signed Tranquil, it was like that's a great
punt for him. So
how could I forget some of the games he's had against the Chiefs?
Yeah,
you know. Chargers so whenever games. We got Tranquil, I was happy about that. but you know, Trent McDuffie, think about the just amazing growth he's had from year one to year two, and he was already good in year one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing literally as a top two corner, top three corner in the entire NFL right now, and his forced fumbles leads the league. Leads the league in forced fumbles right now. This is insane. And the guy is an absolute animal, and to have two sacks, forced fumble, and then a for sure tackler, doesn't have an interception. I don't really care.
I don't care.
Here's why. Here's part of why. It's because he's a blanket coverage guy. I mean, you're just not going to throw in his direction. That's why Jalen Hurts is holding the ball for so damn long, is because he doesn't know where to go with the ball. You got everything locked up. A.J. Brown had one catch for 8 yards. I mean, this defense is awesome.
It is. How much – so I know we're talking about it. I think they've been talking about it in the offseason, but with McDuffie playing the way he is – how much does that potentially take Snead out of the picture next year?
See,
contract-wise, you know?
As of right now, I'm feeling more towards the opposite. I'm not saying it takes Snead out of the picture. He's 26 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give up on the idea that resign him.
Yeah, I'm just saying I know they're talking about this contract now, so but if McDuffie's playing the way he is and your other guys are still, you know, looking really good, where's that take Snead?
I think you're still gonna stay investing in a guy like Snead. If you know, because obviously Joe Tooney could be out.
Correct.
So that's gonna be a contract off the books. Just something to think about. I do obviously. I feel like here we got Creed coming up here pretty soon, Trey Smith's gonna come up pretty soon. The tackle situation seems to be just it's gonna be rotating forever apparently at the tackle position. Draft and develop some of those positions that are of high profile that are worth a lot. But I think that Jarius Snead has proven his worth in a lot of ways. I don't care about the 13 penalties, guys. Yes. No. He's been penalized a lot.
He's also going against the best.
He's going against the best. He's physical. He is a for sure tackler. He's a guy you can rely on in a lot of ways. I don't want to see Jarius Snead leave this team because I think he just fits what we want and what Spags wants so much.
There we go. Dave out here says 3-year Snead deal and then Trent when time comes.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I'd be good with that.
Absolutely. That'd be great. Trent's going to have a 5th-year option, I believe. Yeah. In a top end pick there. At least I think that's right if I remember how that works. Right. But regardless, Snead, give me Snead for another 3 years on this team because I still love Jalen Watson. Josh Williams has had a lot of time off this year, it seems like. But for rookie last year, he didn't do so terrible. I still want to see a little more.
It was still very frustrating in certain times. But overall, for a rookie, he wasn't.
But for he right now, he's our fourth cornerback on the roster. So to me, I mean,
it's still
we're in good position right now in the back end.
And our secondaries, like the safeties.
Yeah, Justin Cook, Reed there.
Cook has come a long way.
Brian Cook's still going to be hanging around for a while.
Yeah, Reed's stepping up like he should with the hits, and it's.
I love
Mike Edwards.
I love the ability of Chris Jones. If Chris Jones is traded this offseason, that's a huge number off the books to then allocate to other guys. And you get draft picks.
Yeah.
Which you can use towards, hey, maybe wide receiver. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Does this year help the Chiefs and Chris Jones' situation at all so far?
It doesn't help either party.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Because here's the thing. Chris Jones is not going out there putting up Aaron Donald 23 sack numbers. He's played really good. Chris Jones is an important piece of this defense.
Yes.
He's at 7.5 sacks right now in the year. That's good. That's really good.
I wonder what he's at pressure.
But here's the thing, too. What he's wanting versus the production, we're going to we can use that to put towards other pieces that we feel can make a difference. And then, you know, shore up the interior D line in some other way, shape, or form that's going to cost us next to nothing compared to that contract. And so for me, it's like Chris Jones is about to be 30 years old. You got a bunch of young dudes on this team right now that need to be paid. And I'd rather ship his ass out. We could do the franchise tag and trade and get a lot out of him. It can be used elsewhere rather than mess around with giving him a, you know, 4 or 5 year deal, which is what he wants.
Dave says, I have not seen Reed standing in the middle of the field with his hands up in the air. Honey skunk reference there. That's true.
Justin Reed. No, Justin Reed's been awesome. I have a part of the team without a doubt.
I mean, it does suck with the whole Jones situation. I get it, but gosh, man.
All I'm going to say is that this is a great year to capitalize on his last year as a Chief, and that's part of why I'm going to be pretty upset if we can't have a top three defense and then Mahomes – you're not going to give him enough to work with to win a Super Bowl, because that was my whole point. Like going into remember the offseason, Tam, we talked about all this. I said, find a way to keep Chris Jones here for one more year, win one more title, show up to the team, get paid your money, hit your incentives, whatever, and then we're going to trade you in the offseason. We'll worry about the offseason when the offseason comes. But the whole point was to be good enough as a defense, because I knew they would be, that it was going to be worth it. Worth it to not pay Chris Jones a contract, worth it to wait, and then in the offseason of this coming year, tag and trade.
Yeah.
And so that was my whole idea. And right now, I don't have confidence to say that we're going to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I feel you there. It's going to be really unfortunate if it does end up the way you're saying right now. But you got to remember, too, the AFC got a lot weaker in this last couple weeks, so... it really is a little less scary, and I feel like outside of Baltimore, really, and maybe the Browns defense. The reason I'm putting the Browns defense in this thing because they're just freaking good. That they would give us a really really hard time. Period. But outside of that, there's nobody else that really I'm super afraid of. So, with the unfortunate thing with Joe Burrow situation, it's kind of kicked them out of any kind of running. In that, so it gives you two teams to worry about.
Yeah, no, I get it. And the Ravens look pretty good to me right now. I don't care they lost to the Browns 2 weeks ago. That is irrelevant to me. I think that looks like a very, very good team, and Lamar's playing great.
They put what, 30 up on the Browns defense?
Yep.
Do you know how hard 31. That is to do? That's the 49ers, how that went for them.
Well, not that we need to dive hard into this, but Chiefs-Raiders –
yeah,
this week at 3:25 Central Time. Obviously, I hope we're pissed off. I hope we're ready to roll. The Raiders
energy.
Sitting at 5-6. They've now had a little bit of a regrouping since the firing of that turd Josh McDaniels, which I don't blame him. I mean, that's addition by subtraction alone right there. If I had to play for Josh McDaniels, I'd probably want to crap the bed too until he got fired.
Did you hear what the locker room was like?
It's not any different than what it was
in Denver.
Originally in Denver.
Eggshells.
And everything
else. Eggshells.
Tanner, we being people who lived through the Scott Pioli era,
that's,
we know what the with those people you know, or you, I should say you people. We know what you people are all about. When I say you people, I mean Scott Pioli and Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, those other turds. We know what those people are all about. And we know it's destructive. We know it's they think they have it all figured out. And sorry, you're not Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But yet they all walk away from the organization thinking that they're, you know, the next coming of God. And they end up elsewhere, and it doesn't turn out the same way. And Rex Ryan ended up with a foot fetish, you know, whenever he left. So, I mean, it's just like it's one of those things where it's ugly. The Patriot way gives me a bad taste in my mouth every once in a while when I think about it. I mean, Charlie Weiss literally started stealing a bunch of money from Notre Dame and KU. And, you know, just he was basically jumping around to different schools, double dipping on his contracts, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then Romeo Crennel, you know, somehow convinced the entire defense in 2011 that he was going to be so good that they would make the playoffs the year after. And then we shit the bed in 2012, went 2-14. I mean, somehow the defense was begging to keep Romeo Crennel at that time.
It's because they liked him.
These Patriot-related players and coaches, that's right, I said players and coaches, have all been a disgrace. The second you leave
Joe Judge,
the Patriots, it is a abomination. I don't have any positive
Joe
thing to say
Judge,
about it.
Matt Patricia being an offensive coordinator in New England, dude,
that's
it's
a disaster.
The best thing in the world.
But all right, back to our main topic, I guess. So
Raider Week
coming up. I'm assuming coming into this game, have confidence to get a win. Of the Raiders in Las Vegas. Chiefs have not lost in Las Vegas yet. Hopefully never will. Hopefully never, ever will. Hopefully one day they just, you know, 20 years from now, have to move to a new city again. And it's going
to
be a 24-0 record. That'd be awesome. But any thoughts going into this game, just real quick, to before we wrap the Chiefs up?
Like you said earlier, as you introduced the Raiders part, not a team to take lightly at all. This is a team that hangs around. They won't just, they're not going away. Antonio Pierce is doing a hell of a job. The energy is different. The players' morale is different. Josh Jacobs is running completely different in this offense as well. This is a team not to think lightly of just because of their record they are, just because they are the Raiders. You know, this is a team that could give us trouble as well. It's a 9.5 spread right now.
8.5 is what
eight
I saw
and a half
last.
Now? Yeah. It was 9 on Monday, so 8.5.
8.5.
8.5 Wednesday. Again, this is a team that could easily take us down to the wire of 3 points. They're playing that much better. Aiden O'Connell is whatever, really, as a rookie. But again, the whole team's motivation, that defense is kind of scary too, because I mean they've been getting after quarterbacks as well. You know, honestly, it's going to be a close one here. I really feel like the Chiefs' offense, if they're going to have a step-up game like they did the Chargers, this has to be the game here.
Absolutely. I feel like the Chargers game was kind of a step-up from the week before because we had issues going into that game offensively. That was like it felt like kind of a coming out party for a minute there against the Chargers. And I see the same kind of thing. Now, defensively, they should be able to handle things.
Correct.
Aiden O'Connell, like I said, and then you got, you know, you got to worry about a few weapons, of course, on offense that they have. Davante Adams, I think, is frustrated as hell with that team, but he's also happier now. Jimmy Garoppolo is not there, and all this other stuff. So, but it's going to come down to me, the offense stepping up.
Yes.
No matter what. I trust the defense to hold him to under 17 points.
How are you going to extend the drives? That's what I want to know. How is this offense for KC going to extend these drives against the Raiders, who like to come after you on third down, like to come after you and force you into different situations? You know, they're not afraid to cause penalties either, this team either. They're going to make you work for it. How is this Chiefs team going
to
extend
normally
the
what
drives?
You do against a blitz in those kind of situations, you're going to go to a big, reliable target running a slant route.
What,
you know,
what's that?
Well, you know, you got Rasheed Rice.
Can you show me?
You got Rasheed Rice. You got your Travis Kelce. But, you know, the big reliable targets that you're running. You're going to not want to throw to Sky Moore on most of those plays. It's probably not going to end well. You're not going to want to throw to Marquez, even if he's open. It doesn't really matter.
I got a theory. What about a dump off to McKinnon?
You could do a dump off to McKinnon.
Just thinking about
that. That is an option. You could do that for sure. But just throwing out some options that maybe would be more reliable than what we've seen the last year.
That's fair. So,
I'm looking forward to the game, of course. I think the Chiefs really can't afford to lose this game. This is a must-win in a lot of ways. Yes. We talk about must-win games all the time, and this is a must-win. The Chiefs have put themselves in this position, and the Ravens are a legit team. We might finally see a year where the Chiefs do not have the one seed, even though it was handed to them, because the AFC is falling apart before our eyes. And we got Joe Burrow now out for the year. We got Josh Allen, who is this really iffy.
Playing that well. Aaron Rodgers
has up and down games, turning the ball over. Jets were supposed to be really good this year, and Aaron Rodgers got injured on the fourth play of the season.
Dolphins can't beat winning teams.
Right. And the Dolphins, you never know with those guys. I mean, this AFC should be just handed over on a platter to the Chiefs.
Yes.
And we're screwing it up. And so for me, this is a must win at this moment of the season. Because there's no reason at this point to fall further back. And also, if you do fall further back and lose to the Raiders right now, we're going to have a lot more deep topics on what needs to change.
There's going to be a lot more stats and a lot more individual
at that call-ups. Point, we'll be calling for firings of the wide receiver coach.
There would
be. And we'll be calling for benchings and cuttings as well. So that'll be the thing.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Mike, here for Raider Week, because this is going to be fun. What's the longest win streak for the Chiefs?
Longest win streak against the Raiders.
Bonus points if you get the years.
Ooh, okay, most wins on a row against the Raiders, huh?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with, give me 9.
Okay, correct.
9 wins on a row?
9 wins in a row. Can you name the years?
The years? Well, it was recent.
Recent-ish. Recent-ish. It's in the 2000s.
Yeah.
It's in the after 2000, right? So there's that.
Okay. So I was going 9 in a row. That doesn't make any sense. I guess if you're just going to give me the after 2000s, I'm going to think more early. I'm going to go, it would have been 02 to 06.
Oh, so close. 03 to 07. You were so close.
That was
man.
One section
just
off.
Just one off. Yes. Longest streak for the Raiders? Any idea?
For the Raiders to win, huh?
Yeah, in this long standing series.
Oh, I think they probably beat the Chiefs 6 times in a row.
Close, 7.
7
that
in
was
a row?
From 75 to 78.
Yeah, that makes sense for that time period.
Current win streak for the Chiefs.
Oh, the Raiders?
Yep.
Well, shit. I mean, they've only. When's the last time we lost to them? I mean, it was. Let's see,
it was at
4
home.
Or 5. Games ago, 6 years ago, not years, but games. I think right now we're sitting at 5 in a row.
Boom! 5 in a row.
5 in a row.
2020 to present.
Okay.
The last time they beat us at home one time.
Who was it that I can't remember? So there was a reason why we lost the game, but I feel like it was a referee's decision.
Probably was.
Trying to remember who that was. That beat the Chiefs that day, or how that went down was my main thing that I can't remember right now. What game was that? Because that was 2000 and was it 2020? 2020, right?
And it was 40-32 in this one here. Oh, come on. I thought you were going to give me that game. Oh, wow, that's a lot of retirements that year.
Let's see.
Oh, we went 14-2 that year.
Well, that was 2020?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it was for some reason one of our losses that year, but I can't remember what happened. There was something that happened in that game that I remember was kind of iffy, but it was just something goofy.
It was week 5. Las Vegas Raiders, 32-40. We lost. I'm pulling the box score here. There was a reason, though, on it.
Yeah, I don't know what'll happen there.
Let's see here. five. So it wasn't the last. It was the that's the first quarter interception. Fourth quarter.
Well, I got a question for you, Tanner. Do you know what year Marcus Allen signed with the Chiefs from the Raiders?
Ooh, from the Raiders?
Yeah, that was...
That was early 90s, right?
So yeah, went straight from the Raiders to the Chiefs. Isn't that
90... I want to say 93?
Yeah, 93. Boom. There you go, 93 for Marcus Allen. 93. And then one of my favorite trivia things, just Chiefs-related-wise, which it shouldn't be, actually, because we lost the game, but regarding Chiefs-Raiders game was about Elvis Grbac's passing yards in that game. That is the Chiefs' all-time record, which is only 50 yards away from the NFL all-time record set by Norm Van Brocklin back in 1954. So Elvis Grbac did this in year 2000. Not that long ago, 23 years ago that he did this. Do you know the exact amount of yards that Elvis Grbac threw for in a loss to the Raiders? That's right. We lost the game.
What he threw for? 515?
Pretty close. It was 504. 504 is the Chiefs' record. So, and I've always thought by now Mahomes would have broke it, but with this receiving group, that's never going to happen.
That's not going to happen now.
Not happening this year, guys.
All right. So before prediction time, guys, we'll get into some injury report here. Chiefs. As of today, Mecole did not practice. He's the only one that did not practice. I'm going to practice for Jerick McKinnon. Everybody else, full practice. The Raiders side of things, Max Crosby, knee, did not practice. Marcus Epps, limited. Jack Jones, limited. Colton Miller, limited. Let's see here. Who else? Anybody else? Nope. That's about it. So that Crosby thing, we might have to circle out a little later this week just to see in case that's something bigger than
I think he'll play.
Well, I guarantee he'll play. But we got to make sure that's not anything bigger than like a game time, you know, situation.
Yeah. So what's your prediction, Tanner? Who's going to win? What's the score?
Chiefs win. Okay. But I have a feeling it's going to be one of those weird-ass games, and it's going to be 21-18. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go Chiefs one as well this time. I'm going to go Chiefs 24, Raiders 14 is my pick for this one.
You have them covering?
Covering. I have the defense doing their job and get back to that 14-point threshold that we had at one point in the season. So there's no reason that it should be any higher than that, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's what I'm going with. All right, guys, we've got a few more topics to get to. We've had this thing going for a little while now where we're trying to have the day of the day, basically. The day of the day.
Because
every single day, once I got older, I realized, wow, we live in this world now where we're trying to make every single day a national this or that. A national day. It's a national pumpkin pie day. It's a national IPA day. It's a national margarita day. It's a national sit in your couch day. You know, it's just whatever. And so we have all these days all the time. Well, the day before Thanksgiving is apparently a day where people just go out and party, even though they're going to kind of party the day after anyway. But
a lot of it's national tie-up day, like the apron. A lot of it's cranberry
tie
sauce
up your, day. Tie up your apron
day.
What does that mean?
You put an apron on to start cooking your food.
Oh, the night before?
Night before. So prep your food.
Tie your apron on.
Yeah, there's day. Make your cranberry sauce day.
Cranberry. I'm not a big cranberry sauce guy. Either. So, otherwise, what we did find out was that today is National Jukebox Day.
Yes.
Which makes sense as well because if you guys, I don't know if you have gone out a lot before Thanksgiving since you've been 21, but I did a few years ago out at Llewellyn's Pub down in Overland Park before they closed down.
Yeah.
And it was like packing, man. It was crazy in there. It was just like wild atmosphere. It was busy. And they had a lot of music and stuff like that going on. And I was like, man, I didn't realize that like Thanksgiving Eve was such a big party night. And that I was probably 25 at the time. I don't know. But I think they had a jukebox in there. I could be wrong. Regardless. There's a lot of jukebox playing right now. There's a lot of people right now partying before they got to deal with family members they don't really care to see tomorrow. And so right now they're trying to get their happiness out of their system so that way they can deal with seeing some people, maybe some relatives that they don't really care for too much. So my question to you, Tanner, is, you know, if you have a jukebox activities going on today on National Jukebox Day here on a Wednesday, what would be your jukebox selection?
Well, it depends what I'm drinking and where I'm at. So and who's with me, right? So if I got a crew around that I'm pretty close with, or my brothers, you know, we're probably going to throw up some Backstreet Boys, some R. Kelly.
I've seen you guys dance with some grannies in the past at Vegas.
I didn't dance with them.
Oh, your brothers.
I didn't dance with
your
them.
Your brothers danced with some old ladies back in Vegas.
I was the one drinking out back, off the side there.
Yeah, they were trying to find some cougars.
Look, it just depends what you're doing. Like, are you, you know, what are you drinking? Like, there's other nights where I'm going to be sitting here putting on a little dicky. Pillow talk.
I'm 10 minutes. Pillow talking with a bit.
My son will be on soon. I got a good story.
That's a great song. Pillow talk's great.
It is. I got a good story. So, my brother likes to, when he visits different towns and bars, if he gets really bored and sees a jukebox and that's what's playing over the way, he'll go in and throw in like $20 and he'll play this song on repeat.
Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, cause I love a rainy night.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I love a rainy night.
So he'll do that at opposing towns, and he'll
is
sit
that his
there
song
on
of choice?
Repeat. And what he'll do, because it's all app-based now on these jukeboxes, right?
Yeah.
So you just pay extra, and you override whatever song
that's
just trying
true.
To get
yes,
played.
That is true.
So that's all he does while he's there for that bar.
Oh, boy. See, I love doing annoying things on jukeboxes when I go out sometimes. Like Connor, we used to have hangouts with him like way back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember him doing the Awkward Stevens and all that kind of stuff? We'd play some YouTube videos, and he would do the Awkward Stevens while we played some songs. This kind of stuff like that. See, I would love to see him do the Awkward Stevens to that song. Just right there, stand by himself. I'd pay $20 for that, actually, if
there's
he would
a,
do that.
There's a comedian out there. My gosh, my brother sent me that guy. Let me see if I can find it real quick. John Mulaney.
Yeah.
Hilarious guy. He played What's Up Pussycat, What's New Pussycat, 21 times.
Oh, my God.
But what he did.
They didn't skip it? They didn't get
sick. No,
because some bartenders will skip that shit.
No, but that's the thing. This was a cash bar at the time, so it was only cash. It wasn't an app-based.
Oh, so you couldn't skip
it. So you couldn't skip it.
Oh.
So what he did, I'll give you a brief front rundown what it was. It was $3? Yeah, $3 for three songs.
That's
so,
1 hour of What's New Pussycat.
So he put 21 songs in. His buddy was there. As he got to the 7 mark, his buddy's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to put Never Gonna Give Me Up at this point. And then it goes back to What's New Pussycat from there on for the rest of the way.
Oh, boy.
So he said he saw a guy. You got to watch the skit, but there was a guy there with kids around jumping up and down. Looked like he just came off. He's like, he just came off anger management. And as soon as it faded away, and he goes, oh, what?
God.
Go check it out. Henry, it's pretty hilarious.
I don't have a certain song that I ever play like at the jukebox, but I do have some free play at the bar I go to in my hometown right now.
Yeah.
So there's some free play nights I do every once in a while. But my favorite thing I used to do, this was a few years ago, I would go to this bar in Merriam called the Poor House, and people in there, you know, it's a Bud Light drinking kind of bar. You know, everyone's in there. You gotta stick to the MO. You gotta do everything their way because it's a bunch of regulars who don't like being disturbed and listening to the country and whatever else. You know, they're normal shit. Every day's gotta be exactly the same. Well, I'd go in there and kind of sit by myself and towards the back and order a couple drinks, but I'd be playing a lot of just death metal. Just some angry screaming stuff, like just see how long they could go before they couldn't tolerate it. But what you see is you see all these guys sitting at the bar with their Bud Lights, and they start looking around the room going, who did that? And here's the thing, the best part, I would just sit there on my phone looking like, what is this? who played that? Oh God, what is that? That is horrible. And, you know, just I would try to blend in as much as I can and be like, look around. Did you play that? You know, just I would start playing that game where I started blaming other people for playing it. Like, I don't know. And then the bartender would skip it. Well, a few more minutes would go by, and it would come back on again. You know, I'd play pick another song. And, I just enjoyed messing with some people who don't know how to get out of their comfort zone every once in a while. And just
that's hilarious.
Get a little bothered when stuff gets mixed up and they're having to deal with some metal. Because here's the thing, me as being a metalhead, me as being a metal guy, yeah. I go out and I listen to everyone else's favorite music everywhere I go. Literally, go to the grocery store, I go, you know, anywhere, and go to the mall. We're listening to whatever's the hot thing of the day, the hot thing of the moment. Other people's favorite music. Mine is very isolated and very different from the majority of people, to where like I'm the one that's walking around disgusted all the time by all this poppy crap. Meanwhile, it's like I'll sit in my happy place as long as I can get a little scream in my mind. So sometimes it's kind of fun to play it back to them, I guess. Just to have my moments of and wanting to enjoy my music every once in a while.
Every now and then.
Out at a public place like they do.
Exactly. Dave in the comments here says, I did that in Denver with Brooks and Dunn with My Maria.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Having that My Maria, like just going off nonstop. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
That'll get there.
Whatever happened to Tanner? What's that one song you used to like? We liked in the early 2010s. She bang.
Oh, Mamba number five.
Is that what it's called?
No, Ricky Martin number five.
Was that Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin. She bang. She moves.
There was that one.
But are you talking about William?
No, Whooping Gangnam Style.
Oh, Gangnam Style.
What happened to Gangnam Style?
He's still around.
That was like 2010, right?
Yeah, that was like 2010, 2013.
Yeah, Gangnam Style. I don't hear Gangnam Style anymore at all.
Oh.
But here's the thing. That was the best dance ever.
Yeah.
You know? That was the great dance.
Even down Saturday Night Live.
They should be bringing back the Gangnam Style dance.
Exactly. I agree.
Know? So, kids these days. Gosh darn. All right, guys. Enough with the jukebox crap. We got a couple more things to get to. So, before we get the easy money picks, I did want to talk for a second on some things Tom Brady said yesterday in an interview with Stephen A. Smith. So if we can, Tanner, let's just play the quick clip of what Brady's comments were regarding the NFL state of the offenses.
Here's a short that you sent.
I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. Yeah. I don't see the excellence that I saw in the past.
Why not? Why not?
I think the coaching isn't as good as it was. I don't think the development of young players is as good as it was. The rules have allowed a lot of bad habits to get into the actual performance of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think the product, in my opinion, is less than what it's been. I think I look at a lot of players like Ray Lewis and Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott and guys that impacted the game in a certain way, and every hit they would have made would have been a penalty.
Mm.
You hear coaches complaining about their own player being tackled and not necessarily, why don't they talk to their player about how to protect himself? We used to work on the fundamentals of those things all the time. Now they're trying to be regulated all the time. Offensive players need to protect themselves. It's not up to a defensive player to protect the offensive player. A defensive player needs to protect himself. I didn't throw the ball to certain areas because I was afraid players were going to get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Wow.
I didn't throw it to the middle when I played Ray Lewis because you knock him out of the game and I couldn't afford to lose a good player. I think there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his whole point basically is just, you know, he's gone through a couple of different eras in the NFL, obviously. And so he's just bringing up the points about how there is a lack of coaching ability. We're not seeing the same level of coaching, which is crazy because our athletes are actually better than ever.
They are.
But yet our coaching, it seems to be on a major decline. There's something missing. I don't really know what it is on the coaching front in a lot of ways. I mean, we're lucky to have Steve Spagnuolo on this team because he's a master, and Andy Reid as well, just a master of their craft compared to what the majority of coaching looks like in the league. But I like one of the other points you brought up too, as far as how, you know, it's not up to the defensive player to protect the offensive player. The offensive player needs to know how to protect himself, and I agree with that. I agree with, you know, learning the fundamentals of how to protect your own body, knowing a hit's coming. And, like, you know, just in today's league, like, that throw to Justin Watson, it was wide open in the middle of the field. You should be able to make that catch with confidence.
You should.
Knowing that you are given now the ability of benefit of the doubt of being a defenseless receiver if you were to not catch that pass. You know, it's like, you should just be willing to put your body out there to take that hit if it does come about. I think in that situation in particular, he was a little worried about the hit coming, but the hits are not the same hits they were, 15 years ago.
No.
But at the same time, one of the points that he's bringing up, he brought up the idea of fundamentals of how offensive players need to, take care of their own bodies to be ready for these big hits. You know, we saw Tom Brady and Peyton Manning half their career taking sacks. They were never really getting hit at all. They were getting down in time before the hit came. And that was how they prolonged their careers for as long as they did. That's why, Brady played till he was 45. Yeah. And Peyton Manning somehow managed with a neck fused on to play as long as he did.
Yep.
I think that's something that's kind of been lost. It's a lost art. We're seeing a lot of lost art. We're seeing a lot of lost art in quarterbacking. We're seeing that quarterbacking this year has been worse than I can remember. I don't remember quarterbacking being this pathetic. I mean, it's sad that we're in a situation where we're seeing Josh Dobbs play right now, coming over to a team that he's only been on now for 3 or 4 weeks and outplaying literally 80% of the quarterbacks that have been on rosters for 4 years.
Yep.
Why is that a thing? And so I just wanted to bring up these comments from Tom Brady because, first of all, I liked him. I agreed with him. And he has a lot of perspective to put into it because he played in multiple areas. He got to see what it was like in 2001, 2002, 2003, up till 2020, 2021, 2022, yeah, and just seeing the difference talent, and all that, and the coaching. And, he's experienced all his training camps and what coaches have guys go through and stuff like that. And that's not something that all these players can say right now because they don't know the difference. But Brady has that perspective to be able to talk about. So
he did mention, too, in his interview, as we were kind of watching it here to catch up, for myself at least, he mentioned that the college ranks isn't as tailored to the NFL as it used to be. He said when he was in college, he said he felt he was really, he felt prepared to go into the state of the NFL. Kids nowadays aren't that way. And we're seeing that transition become harder for certain players each time. CJ Stroud, we see him struggle at times. We see Bryce Young right now, what he's at. We can continue on from all these younger quarterbacks. It's so rare to get a guy like Patrick Mahomes coming off of a college-style offense to go into the NFL, but he went to the right spot. That's the issue here. It's only going to get worse from here. The reason the talent of the offense is also worse in a way is because of that. That's the main reason. It's a college. They're coaching college ball, and that's all they're doing it for. They're not doing it for the players to get to the NFL. They're not there to be the minor leagues of the NFL as much as people here's think the thing. They are.
If you're a college program and you luck into having some quarterbacks go pro, that's you can use that
that's
for
massive.
Recruiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could say that as a recruiting aspect.
Like, hey, we had these guys.
But that doesn't mean that you're actually training them to get ready for the pro level. You could just say, oh, we got some background here. USC always says quarterbacks make it to the NFL. Never translated whatsoever. You had Carson Palmer.
That was it.
But otherwise you had Matt Leiner and John David Booty and a bunch of other turds came about that never really amounted to anything in the league. But they got lucky once in a while and had a guy that panned out.
But that's the thing, though. It was like back in Carson Palmer's – I'll give Carson Palmer in that. Like, he was more ready for the NFL than anybody else after that because they weren't preparing to play in the NFL. They were trying to win games in college.
Same with Ohio State.
Yes.
I mean, we're finally seeing an Ohio State quarterback, C.J. Stroud, play phenomenal.
Yes.
For the first time in I don't know how long. Meanwhile, all these guys have gone pro. We've seen the Chargers draft a guy a few years ago. We saw Justin Fields, who we're still kind of unsure about at the moment, as far as how long his style of play is going to work in the league.
Ravens draft a guy.
And then Ohio State always had quarterbacks go pro.
That's the thing. It's like he stated, it's not the NFL minor leagues. College ball is not the NFL minor leagues. It's just another step towards the direction
but
you want
what
to go.
Here's the thing I want to point out. What we've seen now the NFL do in regards to the way the NCAA's uncaringness, we've seen the NFL now structure their team, their offense, around the quarterback's abilities, which is
correct.
Not a bad thing.
Correct.
You should do that to a degree. But at the same time, good coaching fundamentals have to be involved at the same time. So, like, when the Panthers had Cam Newton, they were not going to try to force Cam Newton to be a pocket passer. Like, they knew we got to let him use his legs. We got to draw plays that where he can use his legs. Same with Lamar Jackson. The offense the Ravens ran with Joe Flacco It was the complete opposite of what they ran with, were running with Lamar Jackson. You know, is this that's good coaching of being able to play to the strengths of your quarterback. At the same time, the fundamentals have to be in place for it to work out right, because and the intangibles and the smarts and willingness to learn. You got to have quarterbacks to come in and they're willing to learn. I mean, the Zach Wilson thing, first of all, I never liked him as a prospect anyway. I don't care that he went number two overall. I thought he was always kind of crappy. I thought that was a bit of a stretch, without a doubt, when that pick was made to begin with. But I think that the Jets have found themselves in a position now where they realize, yes, I don't care about the arm talent. The arm talent, sure, he can throw a ball, you know, 65 miles
look
an hour.
Look at Malik Willis. Malik Willis threw, I think, the furthest in that combine.
Yeah, it's just, it's irrelevant stuff.
He's not thick.
It's irrelevant stuff. You know, there's a lot more behind it, and coaching behind it that's going to go a long ways. And it's like, you know, Robert Saleh talked about this week, about if they should have brought in a more veteran presence behind Aaron Rodgers in case of an injury. His first thing he talked about was not really, but that in his mindset was he wanted to have Zach sit for a full year behind Aaron Rodgers and try to learn everything he did. We've seen some of Zach's footwork actually be similar to Aaron Rodgers. I've seen that so far on film. It's not the same thing. It's not the same person, not the same brain. It doesn't work the same way. You're not working on a second-to-second basis. It's not the exact same person. So it's not the same intelligence to be able to know when and where to throw the ball.
You can sit there and watch film with a guy all you want, but that doesn't mean the guy's going to be the other best guy.
Like, right? If it was as easy as literally just training a quarterback up to become,
yeah,
you know, every time we have a Brett Favre, we'll just throw in an Aaron Rodgers, and we'll just keep rotating them through.
Green Bay will just keep going,
Keep going forever. Just keep throwing them in there. It doesn't work that way.
Jordan Love would look way better right now. So
it doesn't work that way. There's a lot more to it than that. But at the same time, we are seeing a lack of fundamentals within the game. We're seeing too much freelancing, I think, in the quarterback situations. I think we got a lot of bad players right now at quarterback. I mean, for the Patriots, somehow he's gone even every single year. Rookie year looked decent. Second year took a step back. Year three, you shouldn't be in the league. What are you doing?
No.
Somehow's gotten worse every single year.
It's bad.
That should not be happening, especially on a Bill Belichick-led team.
You know, we can go back to also the way the franchise has been the last 3 years. Who's your best offensive quarter? Your third year. You had to deal with Matt Patricia. You had to deal with whoever the hell it was before him. Like, it's the franchise. We can't just point. I don't want to point just fingers at a player. How else is it ran? What is it like? What's the consistency, yeah, right? Having an offensive coordinator named Matt Patricia who coaches defense is not a good consistency. Now you finally get an offensive coordinator, and it's just shit because he's finally – I don't know. It's just
– I remember when the Chiefs had Charlie Joyner on the coaching staff in the 2000s, a Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Chargers.
Yeah.
We had Eddie Kinnison, Johnny Morton, all those guys who honestly are just average to above average receivers at best.
Yeah.
But those guys were efficient receivers. I mean, Trent Green had a lot of trust in those guys. Chiefs currently have Connor Embry, the wide receivers coach, for his first every year coaching these NFL players. And it's – where's the development? The development in the league right now is not where it should be or where it used to be by any means. I mean, we're finally starting to see guys that just are never going to get anywhere because of lack of coaching, lack of development across the board, especially offensively.
How's your franchise run? You know, that's plain and simple. I think you got to look – like, you can blame on the player all you want. When you don't have the support staff or the right coaching or the consistency in the means, like, and I'm not saying consistency of, you know, a coach gets promoted, right? A coach goes to be a head coach. Sure, that happens. You usually have a replacement in, right? Bieniemy leaving essentially for a head coaching gig in Washington is what it's going to be. Cool, whatever. What are you doing? Because you're telling me that Matt Patricia is now out of the league right now.
I mean,
there's more issues than just the quarterback. I think time to get a new face or a new space for Mac Jones, of course. But man, it's a lot of this stuff's just rough.
Yeah, it's bad. I wish that we could see better development.
Yeah,
I'm just seeing a lot of guys come into the NFL and go nowhere.
Stroud's in a good spot. So I think he's got a good staff. He'll be around for a while.
Something's working right there, and that's super awesome
to see. If you're this success, like. and I'd say successful for Houston because it is success for Houston. Look what happened since the halftime game, playoff game, right? It's been nothing but, you know, drainage from there. So having this consistency already in year one with the staff you have, I can't wait to see what year two, year three brings.
Yeah. I hope it gets better and better because, I mean, I don't ever like to see a guy regress. I mean, it's hard to be, you know, putting up the numbers he's putting up currently every single year because teams tend to figure you out a little bit. But as far as decision-making goes, that's where you should always be getting better.
That's where it should be. Yeah, should be better. I mean, Tom Brady hit it, though.
I think he's right. I felt that way for a while now, especially the last couple of years, seeing some of this lack of progression across the league with certain guys. All right, guys. Will, should we jump over to the Easy Money Pick of the Week?
All right. Let's see here. That's my bad. Wait, where is that?
Easy Money?
I didn't update the record. I apologize, people. Wow, I did not update the record.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Sue me.
Well, it's currently the current record, Tanner. We should probably tell the people that are watching. It is, what is it, 25?
The current record is 25-26.
All right.
Brings the Sports Buffoons total percentage to a 49% once again. Let's do a recap here for last week here. JG had the Denver Vikings under 43.5. That was a nice win there for him. It was close, but he got it. Mike, you had the Rams money line. That was a sweater, and they ended up pulling it out at the very end there. So you got that win. Finally, I mean, you're on a three-game win streak right now.
I knew I'd come back.
You got on the right spot.
54%.
I had a big old fat dud. James Madison choked the shit out of themselves or something. Quarterback had, what, 3 interceptions. They fumbled 4 times. Did not play their style of ball that they've played all year long. 7-3, 10-0, and you lose at home to Appalachian State, who has not been good all year long, after the announcement that you are banned from the postseason. What is going on?
I don't know, Tanner.
Don't get it. Got that loss.
It's your college team, man. You keep picking college games, and that's what happens.
Well, I got a good one this week.
Oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait to hear the college pick.
Christian McCaffrey, 31.5 reception yards over. He ended up with 27 in that one because he couldn't cover either in San Francisco. So, brings our percentages individually to JG sitting at 62% so far this year. What a guy. What a job he's done. Mm-hmm. Mike at 54, myself at 40.
Here's the thing. We're on the brink here of getting over 50%. As a group, I made the challenge to us to go 55. 55 is where we need to be at. No lower than that. So we still have some time to go for the season, which means if you've been playing along with us, then you know you still got a chance to come back finally. We've been on the rise lately, guys, on the rise. Getting back to where we need to be. But I do have good news. So JG, even though he's not with us right now, he did send in his pick. So I will go ahead and announce JG's pick of the week as well as some reasonings for it. So with that said, here is JG's easy money bet of the week.
Easy money bet.
He's got the, he's got the Jets versus Dolphins. Interesting. So Jets versus Dolphins, he says, here's his asterisks, pinpoints, maybe you want to say. It's divisional games are ripe for being rigged, which is probably something he would definitely say.
Yes.
He also says, don't trust Miami on the road. Couldn't even cover at home versus the Raiders, which that's, I mean, he had that bet actually going as well. He said, Boyle sucks, but could be addition by subtraction having Zach Wilson off the field, which I kind of agree with that. I like that point. Jets have dropped 3 in a row and will be motivated to prove a point now with Zach Wilson on the bench. And then also don't trust the Miami defense, even though the Jets' offense is horrific. So he says give him the Jets plus 9.5.
Jets plus 9.5.
Is JG's official pick of the week. Jets 9.5. Jets to cover the Dolphins, which is interesting because, I mean, that's... it's a lot to ask for, man.
It is.
It's a lot to ask for in that team right now. So hopefully that works out for him.
What do you got, Mike?
I got one for you tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So that means Your best bet right now is to get on your little apps and start making your bet immediately, because we got our boys. I'm not doing a game. I got a solo prop for tomorrow. You're gonna hate this, Tanner. I got CeeDee Lamb over 91.5 receiving yards. That's right. We're going big dick on this one. We're going challenging. Ooh. 91.5 CeeDee Lamb. And 5 out of 10 games this year, he's had over 100 yards receiving. So that means half of his games, obviously over 100 yards receiving. The Washington defense against the pass is bottom 10 in the league. They're awful. They're terrible. And the Cowboys are one of those teams who have a lot to show and prove. Before last week, CeeDee Lamb had 4 games in a row over 100 yards receiving. They've finally been featuring him as a true number one wide receiver, treating him as such, giving him, you know, 10 to 15 targets per game. So he's getting force-fed the ball. I see him getting force-fed even more. So for me, CeeDee Lamb is going to be getting 8 catches minimum, and then minimum, obviously, 92 yards. So I'm expecting to be over that. So another 100-yard game for CeeDee Lamb, but I'm taking the over for CeeDee Lamb. You can get that right now on DraftKings.
Nice.
If you could find it for a better price, find it. But that's what I found on DraftKings, and I believe in CeeDee Lamb to hit the over this week.
He's due for 100. He's due for 100.
He's been coming along sharp lately, and we're going to see him explode a little bit more.
Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. Let's get into it, guys. You know, fade me if you want. Fade me if you want on my college bets.
Definitely fade him.
Fade me if you want. I don't care.
I'm going to do it right now.
I'm not clicking your button at all. So
tell me what
I'm telling you what I like going and opposite. Where I'm at. Liberty at Texas El Paso. Sun Bowl weather forecast is 16 mile per hour winds, but it's nice and sunny. It's going to be a good day in Liberty or in Texas El Paso. -16.5. I texted my buddy Starsky, this on Sunday when I saw the line, because I was afraid it would be up to 19 by now. It is not. We're at 16.5, -115 there. You get on most books there. Look, Liberty is 8-3-0 against the spread. They're 11-0 this year. They're going against a team that's 3-8. That's 5-6-0 against the spread. Liberty has covered almost every game in the last 5. They blew it last week because they missed it by 2 points. 2 points, technically, in the end-all-be-all spread there. 24 points is what they covered by against UMass. But, you know, you covered against teams. Like I said, I'll say it again. Louisiana Tech, -14. You covered against Louisiana Tech, who's been really good this year and can score offense. Western Kentucky, score offense. You covered. Jacksonville State can score and you cover. They can cover these teams, and they should be able to put this team away here. UTEP out here has covered their last 4 out of 5 was not covering against New Mexico State. With the only big cover they had was Western Kentucky, where they covered by 10. In this one here. So, look, it's plain and simple. This is pretty easy here. It should be a 21-point victory, if not more. This Liberty team is good. They are flipping good. And guess what, Mike? I even went in the top 25 for you in this one because you were all mad because I was betting on other teams outside of the top 25.
Tanner, you're betting on teams that you even watch play.
I do watch these guys.
You watch Appalachian State?
I watch James Madison, Appalachian State.
I'm sure you watched that game.
I watched James Madison the week before that. I'm talking about
before that. You need to be watching all the previous games.
And I've watched Duke as well, Madison, Duke.
No, you're betting on some crap.
No, you hate that I'm betting teams that you and Jason
watch. Oh, I hate that you have a 40% win rate.
Yeah.
I don't care about win games.
I've already talked to you
about
it.
For our people.
I've had the worst freaking luck on each week here. No way Liberty blows this week here versus UTEP. Oh, it's down to -6. Oh, no, never mind. I thought it was -16. We're okay. Next up here, NFL bet of the week here is Tampa Bay Moneyline going against the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis. I'm picking the money line in this scene. Indianapolis is 4-6, or Tampa Bay is 4-6. Indianapolis is 5-5, but the Bucs are 7-3 against the spread. The Buccaneers are just coming off a bad little slate of games here. The Colts really aren't that good in the end. Their owner is, by the way, just one insane character for sure.
Oh, I loved his tweet, man.
Dude, he's so
that was
nuts.
Awesome, Jim Irsay. I think. I think he's drunk as hell right now.
You got Carolina coming off. Tanner, Carolina, Tanner, Indianapolis.
I just found the tweet. This was at 3:53 p.m. today,
yeah,
Central Time. He goes, and on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name, and I don't care to, angry face. If my black mother, Dorothy, was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger. I do like the nothing burger.
He put it later, too. He goes, First Take, I'm going to sue you.
Oh, yeah.
He said he's going to sue them.
But then his HBO clip talking about his DUI, he said he was being targeted for being a rich white billionaire.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's why, yeah. Yeah, he's a character.
That's great, man. I think he's off the rocker a little bit, but that's awesome.
Indy's coming off wins against Carolina, New England. Nothing too impressive here, guys. Look, this should be pretty easy. Mike Evans goes for over 100. Rashad White hits out here a couple touchdowns. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this. You can take the spread at +2.5, but I'm going to go and take the money line at +220 in this here against the Colts. So that's a noon game on the 26th, so Sunday. So that's my two easy money bets of the week.
All right, there we go. Let's hope we get over 50% this week as a group, because that would be awesome to see unfold. JG batting right now, 62%. That's awesome. I want to see that continue. JG was so bad last year. It's great to see him come back strong this year. So that's been nice to see unfold. A little fun fact, Tanner. I know this is like super random. It's just like in my mind right now. But did you know that in high school, Travis Kelce's batting average was .577?
No.
Yeah, in Ohio. Impressive. .577. Pretty wild.
That's a good hit.
I don't have any other reason for saying that other than I just thought of it. here I am full of random facts for the day.
Random facts, Mike.
That's my life right there. Just sit there in your own little head and think of random things. Anyways, guys, I think that's pretty much all we got for you today. I am looking forward to the game, of course, as usual. I'm glad it's not a nighttime game. I'm glad it's a 3:25 game, because
it's not an early morning game. It's not a nighttime game.
The nighttime games are rough, man. I literally had to finish the Eagles game, like laying in bed and then jumping out of the bed to yell at Marquez's drop at the TV, saying lots of bad words about him. And meanwhile, the girlfriend's like laying there just looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just like, well, the TV needs to hear this so that way I can get it out of my system. If I don't get it out of my system now, what do you think's gonna happen later,
dude? You know? I had a bad couple of days, man. I had the Chiefs lose on Monday night and KU lose on Tuesday night. So,
oh, that's true. That's true.
It was a rough one.
That's true. All right, well, Tanner, any final thoughts?
Like, subscribe, follow.
That's right. And we'll be back next week after a wonderful helping of hopefully we all have some turkey and pumpkin pie and crap. I'm gonna make some French toast for my grandma.
There you go.
That's what I'm making tomorrow morning. Some pumpkin pie French toast.
Pumpkin pie French toast.
Yeah, interesting. That's what I'm making tomorrow morning for the grandma. Going over to her house. That'll be first thing. And then after that, it's going to be a long day of driving around Lee Summit and Overland Park, I guess. Or whatever. But
oh, boy.
Well, we'll see you guys next Wednesday, hopefully after a Chiefs victory. And I'll see y'all on the next one.
Have a good Thanksgiving, all. We'll see you.